It doesn't matter. We all are abiding by the same rules.
The mainstream media's gaslighting machine, C-SPAN's fake neutrality, and the Wall Street Journal's establishment polished propaganda is in overdrive. The latest Epstein file drops and Clinton depositions as boring non-stories to make millions of awake Americans feel like the crazy ones.
So what did we learn about the relationship of the Clintons to Jeffrey Epstein?
Fairly limited information. She was adamant that she really had no relationship with Jeffrey Epstein at all. And I think her posture was just, why am I here?
I mean, I expected a lot of interesting questions today, but Pizzagate was not on my list.
Pizzagate. And this is where the body language gets fascinating. Pay close attention to what her right hand does before she even starts answering.
Pizzagate was totally made up. It was an outrageous allegation that ended up hurting a number of people. That caused a deranged young man to show up with his assault rifle and shoot up a local pizzeria.
Did you catch it? Her hand goes straight to her chin, covering her neck. That is a classic pacifying gesture. She is protecting her most vulnerable area. And for someone about to debunk a conspiracy she calls totally bogus, that is a remarkably defensive posture. And she only drops the hand when she mentions the young man with the rifle, and that's the moment she felt she was on solid ground. Facts that she could point to.
Are you aware of any files that were on Anthony Weiner's laptop in a folder that was titled insurance, life insurance, with a zip file titled Frazzle?
Is this within the scope, Mr. Chairman?
Bill Clinton's name hits nearly 1,200 times in the DOJ release. Lolita Express flights, hot tub pics with redacted mystery women, Ghislaine Maxwell selfies, birthday notes. Bill was just being the Bill we all know.
You didn't have any feelings about young women massaging your husband.
I am not going to offer opinions or speculation about anything that I have no context for and was not there.
Of course, he plays the wistful old statesman in his narcissistic disorder testimony, reminiscing about cordial chats and Clinton Foundation trips while swearing he saw nothing wrong after ditching Epstein post-2008. Hillary clocks in at over 800 mentions, yet claims zero memory of ever meeting the guy, never flying on his plane or stepping on his island, pure stonewalling. As she deflects to Trump and dodges the 2015 Lutnick fundraiser email that invited Epstein despite supposed severed ties.
You asked me about
Howard Lutnick. I have met with Epstein survivors. I'm a survivor myself. You have emails. You've denied that Jeffrey Epstein, that you tried to get Jeffrey Epstein to give money to you.
I did
but
not.
Howard Lutnick was
if you have an email
money,
with me asking Jeffrey Epstein for money.
I have an email from Howard Lutnick sending it to Jeffrey Epstein and his people to raise money for you.
I don't know about it.
Not to mention Ghislaine being a plus one at her daughter's exclusive wedding.
When the wedding occurred, she was with Ted White, and she was for several more years. We did not know when Epstein was arrested that she was still involved with him. Okay. I think that clears a lot of this up. We didn't know.
We don't know what they have. We don't know if the videotapes that were in the storage lockers were ever recovered. We don't know when that hacking took place, what was removed from the FBI files and documents. So there's a lot that we don't know. But what we do know is that this man was capable of blackmail, of compromise, of Prince Andrew, of Bill Clinton, of Bill Gates, the Prime Minister of Norway, we're finding out now, may have been a target of blackmail. So he had tentacles all over the world. He was working with other countries, Russia, China, Iran, Israel. Who knows what he told these individuals?
What everyday people actually saw was two serial liars while the Epstein avalanche finally catches up with their tarnished legacy. But the American people now have the house surrounded, and the thieves are still refusing to come out with their hands up. John Bount reporting for InfoWars.
The
The entire world is racing into the fourth turning and the greatest quickening our species has seen in 10,000 years of recorded history. You know you're in a war, right? And it's a declared war. The globalists have declared war on Team Humanity. They've declared war on the God that made us. It is not incredible. It is not heroic. It is not amazing to fight this. It is survival. This is the priority. This is the real world. This is game time. This is the crossroads of human destiny right now. Right now. And I see a bunch of other people not realizing how desperate the situation is. We need maximum urgency. We're up against the most evil people the world's ever seen. Don't you understand that? I don't want anybody to go out and be physically violent. I want you to kill with truth. Kill with your will. Kill, kill, kill their lies.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
All right. I've been on there 32 years in April. And I was never into Hollywood, never really into sports icons and stuff. I mean, I like football and basketball and stuff, but I never got giddy when I, you know, ran into a Michael Jordan or somebody, which I did. And then Rick Linklater's not really a Hollywood guy, but he's a big director. He was a fan by 2000, put me in some of his movies with Keanu Reeves, Winona Ryder, all, you know, all those people, Woody Harrelson, Martin Downey Jr. And they would invite me out to L.A., and I went to some, and I did voiceovers for video games and insurance companies, and Hollywood tried to get me on board with them. But as soon as they went, hey, Obama's in now, you need to leave him alone, these Hollywood producers, I said, I'm done. And I never really went back to Los Angeles. I refused their parties, their events. They were trying to buy me off, put me in movies. And the reason I say that is most people sell out for fame. I don't care about Hollywood. In fact, now I revile it. It's collapsed. I don't get giddy or butterflies around, I mean, I've been at parties, you know, Brad Pitt, you name it. Back then, 15 years ago, I could care less. But when I get around people like Tommy Robinson, who are champions, and I'm not kissing your ass, but it's true. People that have been put in solitary confinement, tortured, their families attacked, through hell, demonized, who first exposed the Muslim grooming gangs, 250,000 girls as young as 7 raped, some killed and cut up and turned into kebabs. He first exposed it, later confirmed, mainstream news put it up. They kidnap little girls. The fathers find out, try to go save their 8-9-year-olds. The police arrest them. Good cops do their job. They fire them. They kill people because the Pakistanis, pedophilia is like their main thing. They were providing kids for the elites. This guy, going back to what, 2009, I want you to talk about yourself here because you never do this. You're literally patient zero. You're not just Paul Revere ringing the alarm. You saw this in your town. You witnessed it with your family. You stood up to them. They attacked you. Countless videos of these people ganging up on you, Antifa Muslims, and there you are, French. But, you know, it's just amazing. I think we should start at the beginning about yourself and then what it's like to see the vindication now. And about a year and a half ago, whenever it was, they were going to throw you back in prison again in solitary confinement. They stick you in the Muslim wing because you refused to shut up and you taped them secretly in court admitting that everything you said was true about the Muslim grooming gangs that's now all confirmed. And then I said, don't go back, Tommy. Don't go back. You were in the Caribbean. And you said, no, I'm innocent. I don't care if I'm a martyr. You went back and were put in solitary confinement again for however year or whatever. I mean, I saw you when you came out one time after a couple of years in it. You'd lost, you know, 20 stones or whatever it is. And you could see that 1,000-yard stare of like our airmen that we get shot down and, you know, kept 10 years in Vietnam being tortured. I could see it. And you admitted it almost broke you mentally, but you're stronger than ever. I mean, you have literally fought and bled and as a soldier in the fight for the West. I mean, I just you're everything I admire. You're an example to everybody else. Our heroes should not be basketball players and soccer players, and they should not be that. It should be men and women that stand up for humanity and go through hell and cannot be bought and controlled and then inspire people. And you have done that. Millions hit the street now. This is so exciting. Elon Musk champions you. It is incredible. Tommy Robinson.
What an introduction, man.
It's true, though. Hey, it's no brag when it's fact.
I'm not used to that, Alex, so thank you very much. I'm used to getting...
running you down, trying to steal what you and others have built.
Yeah.
But I'm going to shut up. Look at the camera. You're in charge now. Tell us about Tommy Robinson. Start at the beginning.
I was born in Luton Town, a town that's 30 miles north of London. When I was born, there was one mosque that's now 45. I come to America in 2011 to give a speech called A Warning to America. The reason being is that I wish someone come to my town 30 to 40 years ago and told me what was going to happen, how it's going to happen, how they're going to succumb to them, how they take over, how they operate, the way the politicians bend to them, the way the police bend to them. I wish someone warned us. So I come with that warning, which is what I'm bringing now. I'm not talking about what I read in the book. I'm talking about my life experience. I'm talking about seeing my town decay, the experiencing of rape gangs. So very early on, I realised growing up in Luton, there was something very different about the Pakistani community. It was like oil and water. You were mixing two things that didn't mix. And Luton is a town full of migrants or sons of migrants. My mum was an Irish migrant. Many of my friends are St. Lucian, Bulgarian, Italian, Jamaican. We've all come from backgrounds of migration. But per se, it works. It works okay. Integrated, assimilated each of the communities. Everyone bonds together. But there was one community that didn't. It was the Islamic community. You're going to experience this, America. You need to understand what your borders have been open to. You had Hispanic, you had Mexican immigration, which I know caused its problems in the numbers they come in with criminality, with things like this. But what Joe Biden's opened your country to, you have...
Yeah, Mexicans are like angels compared to Muslims.
I wish we had them. I remember I kept saying, give us Mexicans, right? If you're going to flood our country, don't flood it with Islamic immigration. It's a whole different ball game. So your border has been open to Eritreans, Pakistanis, Syrians, Iraqis, all of these different Somalis, and there's no integration coming or assimilation. There's domination coming.
And it's their book. It's their plan.
It's their plan. And I didn't understand their plan. Do you know when I understand it, Alex? So I grew up thinking Pakistanis very different. You have a fight of one, you've declared war on the whole tribe. They act differently. They're aggressive. They're hostile. They're violent towards us. They don't like us. Something's very different. And I just thought it was Pakistanis, if I'm honest, growing up as a child. It was only when I spent 22 weeks in solitary confinement that a Muslim outreach organization sent me in the Quran.
Yeah, but let's go back to the tanning salon you own and them trying to recruit your family and stuff.
Yeah.
Start at the beginning. You were like the first guy to blow the whistle. They were running rape gangs.
Yeah, so yeah, the first time I mentioned this was in 2004. And it was after the Beslem School Massacre. Do you remember the Beslem School Massacre?
Yes.
If you don't remember it, that basically, and this is coming to Europe, it's going to happen, maybe come to America. They're going to take over a school and they're going to massacre children. That's what they're going to do. That's what they've done in Beslem. Jihadists took over a school and Russian families were outside the school and their children are inside the school. I can still see it now. I can visually see it. Mothers were dropping to their knees as they were hearing their children being butchered in the school. Now, I watched that and saw that it wasn't one man that done this. So this wasn't a crazy individual. This was a large group of men that shared an ideology. Now, when I saw that, I thought, I need to know that ideology. I need to understand, where's that come from? Where's that hatred and where's that poison come from that makes them justified in this attack? That was the moment. Most of us have a moment that opened your eyes. Once you open your eyes, you all know this. Alex, you know this. You can't close them. Once you understand the danger and the future of what's going to happen, you can't close them.
It clicks.
It clicks. It clicks. And even if you want to close them, you can't. How can you when I understand what's coming? So I looked at this group, and then 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, I see a group of Muslims in a chicken shop in my town getting interviewed online. This is when I was watching a video, and they said that an attack like that would be justified in England. Now, for me, I looked at those men. I said, I want to know who they are. What is this group? That's when I understood Al-Mujahideen. Al-Mujahideen are now a prescribed
terrorist. You saw men in your town supporting murdering elementary students.
It's justified. Now, so you understand as well, I never got a chance to talk about my upbringing when I started the English Defence League, which was a street protest movement. I got my first chance in 2014 in Oxford University, and I took people through my journey. Do you know, after September 11th, do you know what we had in my shops, my local shops? And I show the pictures of this. They put banners up and posters up of the magnificent 19. They celebrated in my town centre. They celebrated in the colleges. The hatred and the celebration for the attack against America, I watched in my hometown. So I understood the aggression, the violence from this group. But when I started looking at Al-Mujahideen and it come together, the street level jihad, which was by gangs and Pakistanis using drugs as weapons, kidnapping our daughters. My cousin was 13 or 14 years old. She woke up naked in a house being raped by lots of men with big beards. She ran naked from the house. Now, the police, I can remember the family discussions. I can remember the turmoil within the family. The police done nothing. Now, this is going to sound so far-fetched to you. No one believed me when I started talking about this on the streets. No one believed me. I sat on chat shows and I got condemned. I got laughed at, belittled. And now every single thing that I said has been proven as correct. But I tried talking about it. They call you racist. They call you an extremist. But Al-Mujahideen were the terrorist organization. I started looking into them. I found that their head office.
Slow down. This is important. You told us on my show like 15 years ago, but I haven't heard you tell it since. How did they get her? Because we now know they drug drinks, they grab girls, they hit them over the head. Did she even know how she woke up being gang raped?
Well, what they call now is grooming. They call it grooming. It's not grooming, it's a rape jihad. Yeah, it's happening in every country across Europe, and it's coming here. It's already here. Your borders have been open. The enclaves are being set up. The money's coming in. They're building entire enclaves. Those enclaves, the men will come out, they'll kidnap. And how it starts...
And by the way, they said on Palestinian TV, their imams, they say, they're infidels. We grab their daughters, make them sex slaves, put them in her harems, and then we sell them as sex slaves. That's how they make their money. Millions of Europeans were kidnapped by Muslims in the last 1,400 years and shipped all over the world. This is their business.
Muhammad did it. So it's sexual slavery. Four times in the Quran, it says very clearly, the outside their four wives, they can take whatever the right arm possesses, the arm of the sword, and they can take them as war booty. Actually, one of the verses actually says they're blameless for doing it. So it's justified. When Boko Haram kidnapped 200 Nigerians, they told you very clearly, the leader of Boko Haram stood on TV and said, Muhammad and Allah have commanded us to do this. When ISIS took the Yazidi girls, you can look at any conflict anywhere in the world, that's what they do. And
they would rape girls as young as five to death.
That's what they're doing now. They're doing it now in my country.
So back to your cousin. She wakes up being gang raped by Pakistanis.
So what happens is it's a process, and it's happening here. It's a process where young Pakistanis or young Muslim Arabs who drive nice cars because they're selling drugs, they have money, they have things, they get the young girls from 11 or 12, they start befriending them. They start giving them cigarettes, they start giving them alcohol. And it could be a six-month process, it could be a 12-month process. They get the girl into a position where she falls in love. She falls in love with an older man, and the older man is treating her, and then it's a slow, and this is the identical process. I can tell you, so a girl that I know got involved in this, and then I sat with her friend and she said, have you heard about Caroline? I said, don't tell me. And I went through every process of what they'd done, and she said, how do you know? And this process starts with money, starts with wealth. They buy the girls trainers, they buy them a new phone, they give them cigarettes, they give them alcohol. Most of the Muslims run businesses and they run all the taxis, as they do here, because I've seen it when I've been to some of your cities. They run all the taxis. The taxis act as a network to ferry these girls from one place.
And the police protect them.
Everyone protects them. Not just the police, the government. A total conspiracy of silence. Religious leaders, political leaders, police leaders, all of them. Every institution that was formed to protect kids fails them, as has done here. As you've already seen with the 65,000 phone calls coming into a hotline that Joe Biden set up for missing children or trafficked children, and no one's there answering the phone. They don't care. It's a business. It's a business. And what we realise in the UK is that the government or the politicians and political powers are being raped. They actually...
And like you said, Epstein's important, but overall a distraction compared to something this big, cut and dry.
Well, look, yeah, everything. It's all interlinked. All of this...
It's the same deal.
The Prophet Muhammad, Epstein's probably a teddy bear compared to the Prophet Muhammad when you look at what he did. Yeah, so this is on a worldwide scale. It's enslaved entire populations, as we've seen. Entire populations, but
they estimate 2 million Spanish women were taken out by the Moors and shipped worldwide.
And the thing is, this is nothing. We can look at history and learn and understand the ideology. If you don't understand why they're doing it, you're never going to stop it. Now, it's one thing. We've got somewhere. We started talking about Muslim grooming gangs. Everyone said we were lying. Everyone condemned us. We've been proven right. They called them Asian grooming gangs to take the blame away from the Muslims. We've got now where they're calling them Muslim grooming gangs. But then the question you're not allowed to ask is, why are they doing it? Why a Muslim population imported into our nation? The Sikhs aren't doing it. The Hindus aren't doing it. The Jews aren't doing it. No other community is doing it. The figures speak for themselves. Muslim men make up 3% of the British population. They're responsible for 90% of the convictions for these sorts of rapes. Now, this is in Britain. And 30% of the men convicted are called Muhammad. Why? That's the question you have to answer. Why? why? And then no one wants to ask the question or answer the question. I know why. I've looked into why. I've done presentations on why. I've looked at the scripture. I've listened to what the men say. A Somali man who's convicted, they're doing it here in America. A Somali man who was convicted said it was his religious right to do it. He's allowed to do it. Yeah. All of the words they quote are literally.
Oh, they get interviewed all the time and admit they do it. They say we're allowed to.
Yeah, we're allowed to.
Well, they're allowed
we
to.
Have imam, yeah. We have imams in mosques telling their followers they can do it. You have imams justifying it in the United States of America. We imams across the globe. You know, in Holland, they call it Loverboy. They call it Loverboy. Holland actually created a video in 2007 trying to educate, and Britain wouldn't allow that video to be showed to.
Well, what about in Wales and stuff, and also in Europe, the Germans run ads showing 14-year-old girls saying, come to Germany, come to Wales, we want to be your friend. The liberals have little girls do ads to entice the Muslims to come.
They've done Valentine's cards. The schools organise Valentine's cards from the children to be given to the migrants, and like love letters telling them welcome to the country.
And they put a jibs on them. Folks, we have video of all this. This is not a joke.
No, serious. And you have to understand where these men are coming from and what the policies are. Where, say, like, for example, we've had a big flood of Sudanese migrants into our country. In Sudan, you can marry at 11. In Sudan, you can marry.
I'm getting at, Tommy, briefly on this, then back to your story, but this is the key to it all, because what happened to you is ground zero, and you're like, you're a time traveler. It's hitting us now. You've been there. You can give us the map how to stop it, because it's a blueprint they've got, which is their weakness. It's also their strength. That the liberals, the left, opening the door in Austin, in Round Rock, they caught them, the schools, bringing in Muslims without telling the parents to indoctrinate them and have them wear hijabs and give them Qurans outside the parents knowing. I mean, obviously the Muslims are paying for this. I mean, this is the same stuff you have in all over Europe. They are literally indoctrinating.
From the age of six, it's national curriculum. Every single school child has to visit the mosque. Every single school child has to visit the mosque.
So why are the liberal Western governments allied with Islam?
Why? Well, we see why they allied in Iran before the Islamic Revolution. We saw what they've done in Lebanon. They come together, as they see it, as the greatest power and the greatest weapon together to overthrow the system. They want to overthrow democracy. They want to bring it down. They want to smash the system and start again.
So Islam's a sword of the globalists.
In the famous words of the great Charlie Kirk, Islam's being used as a weapon. It's been brought in here as a weapon to destroy the system and to start again. The left should learn, the communists should learn. The first people they killed in Iran when they had the Islamic Revolution was the people who allied with them. It was the left. The same happened in Lebanon. The same will happen here. But they're using each other. They don't like each other. They're using each other. That's the reality. The funding comes together. They operate together. It's all organized and planned.
Well, there's famous videos of a Muslim march and the gay pride people show up and say, we love you. And the Muslim goes, no, I'm your enemy, and punches them in the face.
Yeah, you're next. Yeah. And there's first come Saturday, then come Sunday, which is one of their sayings. First the Jews, then the Christians. That's their sayings. That's literally how they run. And that's their global thing. But on the grooming issue, so parents understand, because this is, there should be seminars, there should be entire populations educated. A film was created in 2007 in Holland to try and educate the Dutch population on the way the Moroccans, because in Holland it's Moroccans, in the UK it's Pakistanis, in France it's the Algerians, it's the Muslims, yeah? So to educate them on how they groom the girl, because it's a slow process, and then what they do is, their biggest weapon, is they tell the girl, your parents are treating you like a child, you're a big girl. They cause a divide within the family. And many girls then start getting drunk, coming home drunk, then they start going missing, then they start taking drugs. And slowly it's a process. They get them hooked on drugs, so they've got them where they want them. And once they're hooked on drugs, at some point, one night, six men rape them. And they video it. They video it, so they use Sikh girls, they video it to use as blackmail against the girl to keep her trapped. But then other girls, when the man gets her fall in love, the man will make up lies and say, I'm in trouble. I'm in real trouble. I need you to help me. People are after me. I need you to have sex with this man. That's how it might start. Then they go into this path of just total prostitution. And some of them are 12, 13. And it's not about sexual gratification, just so you can get your head around what these men are doing and why they're doing it. It's about total domination and destruction.
They say in the Quran, it's the power over the infidel that we have your children.
Yes,
I can play the Palestinian TV where they go, it's this woman, like, we will rape their women, we will rape their children, we will own them, we will dominate them, they are scum, we will destroy them.
Well, I always say, don't listen to what I say. You don't need to listen to what I say. Listen to what they're saying. Don't listen to what I say, America, of what's coming here. Listen to what they're saying in your mosques. Listen to what he said literally after the New York mayor, he said, we're about inciting murder against the infidels, sharing the same platform as the mayor of New York, who was voted in by all these liberal morons. It's insanity. But don't listen to what I say. They're quite openly telling you they're going to take over your country. Quite openly telling you they're not here to integrate or assimilate. They're here to dominate. They quite openly tell you.
Is that why they're so arrogant?
They're arrogant because I think they know that they're winning. They're arrogant because they believe they're taken over, and they don't just believe they're taken over, they are taken over. Look, we have 1,000 years of English history, 1,000 years of Christian culture, and it's been given away in 60 years by weak cowards. It's been given away. And an entire nation has been paralysed through fear of being called a racist or an extremist. It's why we're going to get on to talk about Iran. But I look at what's going on in Iran, and I look at, you know, after January 6th.
No, listen, we'll hit all that, yeah, but I interrupt you. You have all the time you need. I interrupt you back into your start, but now.
When my cousin went missing,
for
days.
The future now. Go ahead.
When my cousin went missing for days, and then the police, you ring the police, they just say she's a drug addict. It's like, she's a 13 or 14-year-old child who they've got addicted to heroin. In the end, she climbed out the window to get back to them for her fix of drugs, and then she's gone, and then they take them. And this is happening to parents in every town, city across
the
world.
What ended up happening to her?
She wears a full niqab now, and no one's, her family haven't seen her, so who knows?
Oh, she's under their full control.
Yeah, she had 6 babies. Who knows?
So they literally kidnapped your family?
No, they take them. They're gone. Do you know what they do? So with this other girl that I spoke about, and I saw her mum on New Year's Eve, and she just broke down crying. I was at a Christmas event. She just burst out crying. And she said his parents, so that when they get the girl, because it's rewarded as well.
And once they're done, they make them have a bunch of babies, and they make them work, and the men don't work, and the women don't work.
It's a celebration. They celebrate it.
Women are slaves, and so the CIA feminist movement loves it.
My local imam's got 14 children with 3 wives, all in houses we're paying for. We pay for all the kids. And to them, do you know, being reliant on the state, having a benefit system that pays them, that's a totally halal life. It's great. So all these Muslims being brought in, you want to succeed. You want to use capitalism. You want to rise up. You want to benefit. You want to do better. They're quite happy. It's a really halal life. We'll go mosque 5 times a day. You pay us. And they're laughing at us because we are paying them. We're paying for everything. We're paying for all the benefits. Just like you've seen.
Well, they call that the tax. They say we already have jizya. The Brits paying our tax.
Yeah, we pay. It's a special tax.
Oh, jizya or what is it called?
Jizya. You convert. So there's 3 options from Islam. You convert, you pay the jizya, or you die. And that's the last things Muhammad said in his life. That's it. So you convert, you pay the jizya, or you die. So you have 3 options. You convert. The jizya is a special tax that non-Muslims pay to Muslims. Under the times of Muhammad, non-Muslims had to pay a special tax. If they pay that tax, which subjugates them as second-class citizens within the Muslim community, then they can live. But they have to keep paying for their safety. It's essentially what Barack Obama done with Iran. He sent them billions of pounds. Yeah, we'll give you money. You just stay over there and stop. Do you know what I mean? It's a weakness, it's a cowardice.
Like
the Barbary War, it's the same. And to most people who don't understand Islam, you have to understand it. You have to understand Muhammad. You have to understand who he was. Jesus said, turn the other cheek. Muhammad cut their heads off. He beheaded 600 people in one day. That's not my opinion.
And what's crazy is they're so arrogant. You can walk up to any Muslim, they'll admit it to you. Here, he's like, yeah, we're getting your daughters. Yeah, we're taking it over. Screw you. He's just some lazy retard on welfare.
No, but they are. He's speaking the truth. That's what they're doing. They're taking over. You think London. London's 33% English now. You think Germany. You think Berlin. Now, America's at a crossroads. You have an option. You have a total option here. You've got brave congressmen speaking out. I've seen some of them. I've spoke to some of them. I've seen some of their primaries last night. I saw the 95% vote from Texans against Sharia. That vote against Sharia, it's like you put out one fire and another 500 start. You try and stop one mosque, another 500 planning applications go in. So it needs to come from the top, from your government, need to address this issue of Sharia, of Islam, of Islamic immigration. You need to end Islamic immigration. As simple as that. Immigration is supposed to benefit the United States of America. It's not going to benefit you.
So let me ask you this when we come back. Can Europe and the UK be saved?
Yes, and it will.
What do you want to hear when we come back? You're going to have the floor. You're going to host. I want you to cover it all.
I want to cover the rape because it's the biggest and darkest stain on British history.
They're saying you said years ago, 250,000 at least.
That's more. It's much more. And I'll go into the numbers on that. Say, for example, I've done a 5-part series called The Rape of Britain. Where I looked at a certain town called Telford, and I went into Telford and I spent 12 to 18 months in this small town. And the reason I chose Telford is because Telford has a 1.7.
Talk about it when we come back, because I don't know what it's at now, but it had like 1 million views. They put you in prison for it. Was it like 100 million views now?
It went to 167 million views, that documentary.
Last time
Thanks to Elon Musk.
Yeah. And how long did you have to sit in prison last time for this?
I spent 7 months on surgery.
7 months in prison to show you what they do.
I got out in May.
Incredible. We'll be right back with Tommy Robinson. I'm making this announcement on Tuesday, March 3rd, 2026. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March Mega Sale at theoliveshowstore.com. It's one of the biggest sales of the year yet. Up to 40% off store-wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats. 10% off on things like the collectible knives, and up to 40% off on supplements like Ultramethylene Blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. These are incredible products. You've seen the rave reviews. You've seen the five-star reviews. These are the very best game-changing supplements available, period. Again, I only sell things that really work because I want you to get them and I want you to love them. We now have an over 90% reorder on the supplements on the site. No one in that industry has it because the products are so good, and obviously you're loyal as well. And I thank you so much for keeping us on the air. We're changing the world. We're battling the globalist. We are having the greatest effect together. That's all of us against the new world order we've ever had. And it's all because of your support of my broadcast and other broadcasts like it. But regardless, the enemy recognizes that InfoWars is the tip of the spear. And the bad guys are continuing, just read the newspapers, try to shut us down as early as late March. We're battling them in court, but it looks like this could be the end. But that's okay, because the info war belongs to the people. The info war is about telling the truth and countering the lies of the globalist. And the AlexJonesStore.com is not owned by me. It's owned by Bigland. The backup Alex Jones Network that's ready is not owned by me. It's owned by them, and I'm going to work for them. And so as long as you support the sponsor, no matter what happens to InfoWars, at TheAlexJonesStore.com, you keep us on the air. So right now, your purchase at TheAlexJonesStore.com keeps InfoWars going, pays the payroll, the bandwidth, the satellites, all of it. But as soon as InfoWars shuts down, it's more critical than ever that you support TheAlexJonesStore.com because it will move forward into the future as our main sponsor. But regardless, this is a win, man. Has InfoWars not delivered? In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or you in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the info war continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for team humanity, against the globalist, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried Ultramethylene Blue or our bovine colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you should become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it reoccurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers, and with one click in your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals with everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. So take advantage of the March Mega Sale right now, running until the 17th at thealexjonesstore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. Again, I salute you and thank you. Take action now.
Methylene Blue, it is tremendous. I would not be making this video if I didn't believe in it. After I take it throughout the day, I start feeling better and better and better. My workouts, I feel like I'm 15 years younger than I am, and the app that I record my running on proves that my workouts are getting better. So I gotta tell you what, God, family, country, InfoWars, and Methylene Blue. Get it while you can.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Live from the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
A ribeye, exactly. Tommy Robinson's got a church tonight, I think, with Ken Paxton or his family. But tomorrow I'm taking him out to a steakhouse. We won't say where. Nice ribeye. But we got you some great Texas barbecue coming. What a hero. Just amazing. An example for us all. Now, I didn't put you up to this. Well, I put you up to do this, to talk about it. But you told me, you said, man, because I heard I was here today working, and you were already on the show. And they said, yeah, Tommy was really tired. We gave him some Methylene Blue. That you told him, hey, you got any caffeine or something? They gave you that. You were on your own. You said, wow, this Methylene Blue is insane. I said, well, you can take some more here on air. In fact, I haven't taken a couple of days. I need to take some. I take it about every 3 days, or it's too strong for me. Had you ever taken Methylene Blue before?
I hadn't, no. I asked for a double espresso. I got some tablets, some powder, not that powder, and some Methylene Blue.
Well, you're definitely bouncing off the wall. So what did you feel for the methylene blue?
That woke me up. It certainly woke me up. I don't even like double espresso, but I've been, yesterday I left at 4:30 in the morning on a flight from Northern Florida, ended up in Dallas, and I got to bed last night at 1:30. And then we left for here at 5:30. I was at 5 o'clock, we were up. So I've just been running.
No, I saw your schedule. It's crazy.
I've been running like that each day. I want to make the most of my time here. I want to make the most of waking up America or having an opportunity to talk to America to understand what's happening here.
Well, this is a stimulant that's not a stimulant. It skips the oxidation process in the cells. RFK Jr. is totally into it. I wish I'd have taken it when people told me to, but we've got the best, and it is how we fund the operation, thealexjonesshow.com. For all you on the fence, every guest I've given it to has had incredible energy. Now, I didn't ask you what it did. You said you felt energy. The first time I took it in 30 minutes, I felt like electricity tingling. Did you feel that?
Yeah, it woke me up. I was like, I'm coming in here, and I was like, oh, man. I was exhausted. So I don't feel exhausted.
Well, here's the Tommy Robinson. How much did you take?
I don't know. I overdo everything I ever do, so I just put loads of it in.
Well, that's just one dropper. Let's do it.
Well, that's just one drop. I've done about 10 on the last one.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You're going to be pissing blue for a week. If you'd have told me I'd be drinking methylene blue with Tommy Robinson a month ago, I wouldn't have believed it. Hey, briefly, and then I'm going to give you the floor here to the modern stuff, the current stuff, how we fight it, what's going on. And we'll get into Iran, all of it. Well, we'll get into Iran in a moment, but just in general, go wherever you want to the point of how you woke up, what you did, what you went through, because that's so important to show how tyrannical the UK is. And you were really patient zero. Now they've taken it to 30-something thousand people a year being arrested for mild speech. Starmer out in the open being a total tyrant. They're talking about arresting Elon Musk. The EU is as well. You really champion Elon Musk, and I have too. I mean, he's been the game changer.
He's been the game changer. I wouldn't be sat here if it wasn't for Elon Musk. There wouldn't be a revival. There's a Christian revival happening in Great Britain. There's a cultural revolution happening in Great Britain. None of these things would be happening without Elon Musk purchasing X. Now, lots of people thought he was mad when he spent $44 billion on X. And it is now a platform. It's the top news site in the world. We can bypass their misinformation, bypass their lies. People can come straight to the source. Rather than them telling you what I say, you can listen to what I say. Now, you weren't able to do that for at least 5 years. Same with Alex. We were totally deplatformed.
And how angry is Starmer? He says it when Musk routinely posts you. So you're getting 10 million views, 200 million views, 160 million views. I mean, that has got to drive them crazy.
Well, they're losing. They've lost control. When Donald Trump was elected, they realised that they'd lost control. They realised that his election come off the back of social media. They then took back control. Before Donald Trump, I'd say it was Modi. There was a populist revolution that was happening, and it would have continued to happen, but then they took back control. They took back control by influencing big tech. Still now, I'm still banned on Facebook. I had a 1.2 million following in 2017. I had the most engaged Facebook page in Britain. I had more. You put my followers. I had more than all of the political parties put together. Yeah. So then they took back control. They made me a figure of hate. I've never been tried or contested or had a court case on hate or racism or extremism, anything like that. I just told the truth.
Yeah. 15 years ago, you were a Nazi, which you've always been pro-Israel.
Yeah, always. Yeah. I've always, from the start, been not just pro-Israel, but I'm from Luton Town. As I said, most of my mates growing up are not white. I've been able to see the difference. I can understand why someone in a totally white neighbourhood or someone in another country can look at all the problems and just and put it on non-whites or problems like that when they see so much crime and they see all these things.
But we know in Europe everywhere, 80% of it's the Muslims.
It's Muslim. If there wasn't Islamic immigration, and I get condemned for saying this, if we didn't have Islamic immigration, I don't think there'd be any debate about immigration. I don't think there would.
Well, that's right. The white supremacists actually hate you because you report that fact.
Yeah, they despise me for it. And they despise me for it. And I say, look, our Unite the Kingdom movement, which we set up. So in 2024, I'll brief it. So I saw all the problems growing up, seen all the jihad. Luton was named by the CIA as the epicenter for terrorist activity. I know lads that went to fight for ISIS. Some of my mates converted to Islam. They're now in jail for terrorism. I've seen it all. I've seen the rapes. I've seen the girls go missing. I've seen the family problems. I've seen it all.
They had jibbed your cousin.
I know. That's it. They're gone. Family members gone. Loved ones gone. Friends gone. Girls you grew up with gone. Gone. Taken. Disappeared. Yeah. So in 2009, I set up an organisation called the English Defence League. Now, it was never going to be doctors or nurses that stood up to militant Islam or these gangs in our country. It was going to be young, willing men that are not going to submit. We're not going to be beaten into submission. So the English Defence League formed and young men from across the country joined it. And we hit towns and cities to highlight the issues that were being hidden, successfully hidden for decades.
And the government came down on you with both feet.
I expected the threats. I expected the terrorism. I expected it all. So there's 6 Muslims in jail now. They got caught with guns and bombs on the way to kill us. I've had 13 official government warnings that my life's in danger. 1-2 weeks ago, ISIS have put me in this month's magazine to be killed. Al-Shabaab named me in 2011 to be killed. So I expected all of that because I knew very early on growing up in Luton, you can't talk about this issue. They're going to kill you. They're going to want to kill you. Yeah, I knew that. What I didn't expect was the full weight of the British state. I had no idea. I thought I lived in a country, the Magna Carta, I've got it tattooed up here. I thought I lived in a country that valued free speech, and I thought I had those freedoms until I started exercising them. And then I realised I live in a very different country. Now a totalitarian state has weapons, and it has tentacles, and the media, the judiciary, are all weapons of that state, and I come under full attack from all of them. Do you know what, Alex? This is the crazy thing. Since 2009, when I set up and I started highlighting these issues, my first raid from the police was within 3 weeks. So at that time, I was 25 years old. I had 2 successful companies, 7 properties. I was a successful young man, making money, family, everything. And I realised that we can't hide from these problems. We can't run from these problems. Most people think, and we've created a generation of A, cowards and selfish people who think it's about them. So most people think, well, I can move there. It's not going to affect me. I've got a few quid. I'll move out there and the problems are confined to that town. It doesn't matter anymore.
But we stand on the shoulders of men before that stood up for our nations. And you're building that new foundation.
Well, it's in our DNA to fight. It's in our DNA. We have to remember who we are. I keep saying to Britain, remember who you are. Remember where we come from. Remember what created this nation.
The Romans couldn't conquer.
Remember the sacrifice. England, remember who... And we've forgot who we are. And we've become weak. And if we reinstall that pride, and we lost our pride, there's been a combined attack on males, on family, on church. America, do not lose faith in your church. Because that's what we did. We went away from it.
They're all turning to mosque.
Not just turning to mosque, but it allows a vacuum. And that vacuum was filled by what? It's filled by Islam. It's filled by Marxism, communism, LGBTQ+. If you've got a population who don't know who they are, and from the breakdown through the education system, through the indoctrination, to create a population who are ashamed of who they are, who don't have fathers, who don't have a community, who don't have a church, who don't have a value system, then you can manipulate them.
By the way, I know you saw Oxford and Cambridge, and they're saying the Anglo-Saxons never existed. There are no Scots, Irish, or Brits, literally. And then they put non-whites in as the Vikings. I mean, this is insane. They're literally erasing your history.
This is a long process. And then if they can do that, if you have a population who don't know who they are, they're not going to fight. They're not going to fight.
They have no identity.
They have no identity. And they've tried. The European Union and the
Muslims. Well, the thing is, the Romans took over everything until a little north of London. They had to build Hadrian's Wall because they said, give it up. They couldn't take it. Now you take people that never give up to, like, pussify. How did that happen?
Feminization of men, weakening, get everyone financed up to here, reliant on their jobs, reliant on their work. If they miss one payment, they lose everything. They've got everyone where they want them. And then cancel culture. You can't talk about this. There is no free speech. Arrest, fear, worry, concern. All of these things played a part. But it's pretty embarrassing because we hear about a nation of lions and they managed to paralyse that nation. It's the darkest stain on British history is this rape scandal where we, as a nation... And a nation with pride would never have allowed this to happen. Men with pride would never have allowed this to happen. But we lost our pride, we lost our identity, we lost it all. We lost our culture is eroding, yeah? And so I formed an organisation in 2009, we hit the streets. Yeah, we were boisterous, of course we were boisterous. No one was going to listen to us. So we hit the streets, we were loud, we were vocal. We brought issues to the forefront of the world's media. We were marching through streets, Muslim pedos off our streets. Our daughters are not halal meat. We made sure they couldn't ignore these issues. They'd ignored them for 30 years. If you draw a graph, and I take massive satisfaction in this, and if you draw a graph and show the arrest rates for Muslim paedophile gangs targeting young children, there's a straight line. English Defence League forms in 2009, 2010, 11, the line literally goes straight up. That's when the arrest started. It's when they had to address the issue because 10,000 young English men were on the streets demanding they address that issue. If not, we would be sitting here now. Those rapes would still be going on. They are still going on, but no one would know about these rapes.
Well, let's talk about the magnitude. You said it's more than 250,000. Starmer literally was the head magistrate covering it up. It's on record. He is really scared right now. What's the real number?
So the magnitude is, I focus. You've heard of Rotherham, right? You've heard of Rotherham? The reason you've heard...
You got the floor.
I believe these towns are scapegoat towns. So I went to Telford and I spent 12 to 18 months in a small town called Telford. Telford has a 1.7% Muslim population. There's none there. Yeah. But I spent 12 to 18 months. I sat down with lots of girls, dozens of girls, and I sat down with them for 3 hours, 4 hours, sometimes three times, sometimes four times. My team dissected their interviews. We built a database. We put it all out. Now, we got 264 names from those survivors. We heard the crimes. We heard what they'd done. Some of the girls they were raping. Some of the girls they murdered their friends. Some of the girls they were torturing. Some girls, so you understand, a little 11-year-old girl had a hot iron rod with the letter M heated up. And it was scalded onto her bum because she was the property of Muhammad. Other girls had their tongues nailed to tables. They used to take these young children out into the woods in the middle of the night. They'd pour petrol over them and then set a lighter up saying they'll burn them and burn their whole family if they ever speak. So these girls were tortured. There were queues of men sometimes queuing up to rape these children. Some of the cases, 11 cousins were involved in the rape of a child. Fathers and sons were raping kids together. Brothers and brother-in-laws. This is a whole new imported phenomenon of rape that, quite frankly, the Western nations have never seen. Yes, we've got a problem with paedophiles. Yes, we've got a problem with deranged individuals, but they don't share them with their brothers, sisters, cousins, brothers and families and cousins. This was so accepted within the Islamic community. It was so mainstream. So I went to this town. I focused on this town. I spent 12 to 18 months there. You can watch this documentary series. It's the best work that's been done on this issue, which is why they hate me, because I'm pretty good at my job. trfilms.co.uk. We investigate. We do a police-style investigation. We track them in. I knew everything about every one of those gang members. I knew where they worked. I knew where they lived. I knew how they were related. I knew it all by the end of this investigation. And then we go after them. So once we got the stories, we go and find them. Because in this police investigation, 1,000 victims, not my investigation, the police's in this town, they identified 1,000 victims. Five victims are dead. Some of them burned alive, the children. Yeah, they've killed five. They've murdered five in that town alone. Now, the police identified 200 men involved in these rapes. 200. They only prosecuted 11. So when you see the headlines of rape gang, rape gang, rape gang, they're just doing a little few of them, yeah, to make the country feel like they're dealing with it. They can't deal with it. There's not enough prison cells to deal with it, yeah? But out of them, they prosecuted 11. So 200 men were identified. Now, you take the Muslim population in this town, you get rid of the children and get rid of the women. That's 1,000 men. So out of 1,000 Muslim men, the police identified 20% that were involved in the rapes. We identified 260, 26%. Just so the police, that's just from sitting down with 18 girls. Yeah, that's what we identified. Now, in our documentary series, when the girls are named, when the rapists are named by three or more victims that did not know each other, that's when they star in my films. Yeah. So it's not like one girl's just come and made something up to us. We've done a proper investigation from children that did not know each other, that lived in different areas of the town, that make exactly the same allegations about trafficking, abuse and rape and torture. Yeah. And then we go and find the men, many of them running successful businesses, companies. In fact, the man whose job it was in the mosque to preach against the grooming gangs was one of the main groomers. We have pictures from the police. The police go and take these diversity photos, the same as what they're doing now in Texas. They go and have these photos taken for diversity, working together with the Islamic community. And they're all outside the mosque. You won't find photos outside the Sikh temple or the Hindu temple. It's always the mosque. They're outside the mosque. The man, the police officer whose job it is to stop grooming, stood next to the main groomer in the town. It's insane. Yeah, but when you take those figures and you look, as I said, from a 1.7% Muslim population, 20 to 30% of the Muslim men in that town were raping. That's like the numbers. And then we have the figures for Telford and we have the figures for another small town called Rotherham. So when you talk about 250,000, just in Telford, where there's no Muslims, there's 1,000 victims. Now let's look at Rotherham. Rotherham has a 3.7% Muslim population. So again, there's none there. When I say there's none there, my town's got 50%. Yeah. Other towns, Oldham, 33%.
Yeah, the government's doing studies on the towns that's light end, so...
They've done studies. We've got the figures on the towns that's light end. You're not allowed to ask why they're doing it. You're not allowed to look at religion or race. They try and muddy the water all the time on this.
So what's the real number, do you know?
I'd say no. I'd say probably up a million rapes over those 20 years. When you look at the figures, again, because in Rotherham, 1,400 children in
well,
a
I'll tell you
town.
What I see like in Michigan... In Dearborn, when they march to the city council, you'll see these Muslim men with two or three blonde-haired, blue-eyed, brainwashed-looking women, look like they're 20 or years old or 18. They're just there, and you just see their blue eyes in the slits as they're looking out. And these are literally captured women. You can see it.
They're taking them. No, but they're taking them everywhere. They're taking them everywhere. And are we supposed to just accept that? Are we supposed to accept that and tolerate that? And in America, this is the warning to America. Joe Biden opened your borders. They say 10 million. Maybe it was 20 million. Yeah, who knows? But when Angela Merkel opened up Germany's borders, from 2017 to 2022, rapes went up 45%. I always bring these statistics up because people really need to look at it. Rapes went up 45% in those years. 11% of the rapes last year were from foreign nationals of just Syrian descent. 54, 56, I can't remember, 8 or 58%. It's upwards of 54% of the rapes in Germany were committed by Muslim migrants. They only make up 10% of the country. In the UK, 90% of the convictions, Muslim men. 90%. 30% of those convictions called Muhammad. In Sweden, 63% of the convictions, Muslim men. In Paris, 77% of the rapes, Muslim men. So you can go through any of these countries.
Austria, so let me ask you this, though. You said all this first. It's all vindicated. Now it's finally hit mainstream news. You got to feel vindicated. But it's not about being vindicated. It's about the victory. Now this is becoming a front and center issue. Then Starmer, I know, the inquiry comes out to show the numbers. He gets caught erasing the rape database.
Keir Starmer was in charge of the Crown Prosecution Service at the time that many of these rapes were happening. They knew it was happening. They decided not to charge. Keir Starmer led this. So the problem you've got, when I started in 2009, within 3 weeks, I got my first police raid. In the first 6 months, I had 3 raids. I was put under counterterrorism measures to close my bank accounts and my assets. They destroyed my companies, my businesses, everything. Do you know, since that first 3 weeks, I have not had one period from then until now. I faced 10 years on October 26th this year. I faced 10 years in prison for my next trial. Yeah, I've just got off with 2 trials, thanks to Elon Musk, a counterterrorism trial where the judge ruled that they were persecuting me, targeting me, and it was all unlawful. The case before that, just 9 months before that, I got off of another charge where they found again I was unlawfully targeted, unlawfully given conditions not to enter my capital city for 6 months. All of it unlawful. Thank God for Elon Musk supporting my campaign. I have a chance now on October 26th to win that case rather than do 10 years. But since 2000...
Oh, we should have started the show with that. In fact, put this up front. You're facing 10 years in prison right now for what?
Questioning journalists from the Daily Mail. You have to understand the Daily Mail and these newspapers, they're weapons of the state. You can't question them. You can't go after them. You can't ask them the questions that they're asking you, which is all I try to do. They put a camera on me, I turn the camera around. I'm coming to ask you some questions. No, you're not. They're in fear for their life. They're in fear.
We have people that pray outside abortion clinics 100 yards away. They get 2 years in jail.
They get prosecuted, yeah.
People don't realize how bad the UK is. I mean, it's bad.
It's bad, but
what is Starmer trying to do?
Well, 2009, when I start talking about this, since then until now, I've not had one single period in that 15, 16 years, whatever it is, I've not had one single period where I haven't been facing prison. So lawfare, which is what Alex has been hit with, it's what Donald Trump was hit with, it's the reason I played that documentary last year. So I had a court order not to show a documentary. I had a grenade showing how they operate. You see everything we know about lawfare. It's an unholy alliance of judiciary, of politicians.
But look at that headline. Oh, you talked to reporters 10 years in jail. What is this?
Yep, I
faced. But a girl, a 9-year-old escapes, goes to the police, they arrest her for being raped. I mean, just look how upside down that is. How do the letters of the Guardian, how do they get enough mercenaries to do this?
Well, they're all weapons of the state. They're all working for the state. Again, it's not, Britain is not a free democracy. It's not. The European Union are working against the interests of the people. They're flooding the nation with the United Nations. It's all planned. Your borders and our borders and Germany's borders and every country's borders, they weren't open by mistake. They're open. Do you know Minnesota? Just look a minute. Ask yourself this question. Somalians come from the hottest place in the world, Somalia. They come into the United States. Do you think they chose Minnesota? Do you think they chose to move to the coldest place in the United States? Do you think that was a choice made by Somalians? Or do you think they were put there? Do you think they were put there in the full knowledge of how quick that community grows? So when you look at the Muslim communities...
It's a voting block.
They're bringing in voting blocks to make sure... You know your swing states. Just look at the figures. The figures of illegal immigration were upwards of almost 700% in some of those swing states. Now, if you hadn't elected Donald Trump, you never would have won an election again.
Well, that's right. Trump isn't perfect, and I get mad at him, but it's night and day. So we got to back the good he does, oppose the bad he does, but overall it's night and day.
Yeah, I can't claim to be an expert on American politics. I read what I can, I look at what I can, I've followed it. But I can be an expert on Islam and what it's going to do to your country.
And it's the exact same playbook.
It's identical.
You've been hit with is what we're being hit with now.
The lawfare they hit with me is the lawfare they hit with you. It's the lawfare hit with Trump. The difference is I had a film. So when I had the possession of this documentary, which proved everything was a lie in a story they told, I can't go into details here because I go straight back to jail. I'm on a lie. I just come out after doing 18 months. I've got an 18-month prison sentence for a film. Now, when Alex told me not to go home, lots of people told me not to go home, I made a decision to put the British judiciary on trial. I had a vision that I know what this film shows. If you watch this film, you know I told the truth and you know they lied.
Now, and it's them admitting you a ride admitting they were covering it up. So you went to jail for that.
If you know they lied, you then can question the results of the judiciary and the politicization of the judiciary, not just against me. Do this, okay? Americans, do this. Pick any fighter in Europe. Morten Messerschmidt is the lead name in Denmark who's opposed to European Union and mass immigration. Google his name. Look at the lawfare he's faced. Court case after court case after court case.
A lot of them get shot and killed, actually, or stabbed.
Ken Paxton, look at the lawfare he faced for standing up. Look at anyone that stood up and look at the lawfare. So look at Salvini. Look at Salvini, who's deputy prime minister now of Italy. He faced 6 years of relentless lawfare for standing up. They didn't get anywhere, proven wrong, but the process is the punishment. The stress, I don't know if Alex talks about the stress, what he's gone through, I know what goes on behind closed doors, I know the dark places, I know the bankruptcy, I know the effect on the family, I know the effect on the children, I know what it is. So even if you come out of it, my last two cases, I come out, one cost £53,000, I was cleared, I don't get the £53,000 back, I don't get my time or life back, in fact all my energy is put into fighting a court case of which I'm innocent.
Well then they should have been bankrupted my parents.
That's what they do. Yeah, and it hangs over your head. So they have this cloud over your head. I've had it since 2009. You tried to live with it, you tried to fight it. But there, here I am, come 2021. I'm taken to court. They say I lied in a story. I have all the evidence of covert recordings proving that people were paid not to tell the truth. I find out who paid them. They spent £274,000. I get all the evidence. I have this big conspiracy of the Unholy Alliance, how they operate. And I realise that this film is far bigger than Tommy Robinson. This film proves everything.
What's crazy is you told me a few years ago before you came back and went to jail, it was going to happen. It happened. Starmer's out. It's admitted he did it. He was the head. I mean,
but this
so what happens next?
This was about the judiciary and the lion. And I made a decision to go back because I thought, I'm going to put them on trial for the world. And it was a risk I took because the world might not have seen the film. But I went back, and even the judge said when I went in before him, delete the film and I will drastically reduce your sentence. I said, you don't get it, do you? Like, you send
me. And then it had like 20 million views, now it's 160.
It was only on 400,000 when they come for me.
And that, I was guessing a number.
And it went up to 167 million views. So although
by the way, that's just your post. It's everywhere else.
Yeah, that's my
any idea how many people see it now?
I don't know. Well,
500 million?
Well, 8 weeks before I was due to come out of prison, they made my solicitor notify my solicitor. The minute I walk out.
Now we know they were threatening Musk the whole time.
Yeah.
When Starmer went to the EU to have them do multi-billion dollar fines, and then one of the main things was you. So Elon's paying billions to keep your movie up.
Elon's
a freaking hero, man. Everybody's like, oh, you're kissing his ass. I mean, he's a game changer, folks. He brought me back. What am I supposed to do, bite the hand that saves us?
No, it's free speech. And people say, why is Elon supporting you? I said, Elon's supporting free speech. Each one of my court cases, I sent the paperwork to a lawyer to look at, and if it was a violation of free speech, he supported it. So he's supporting free speech. He's a free speech
advocate. Here in Abigail, Democrats filed saying they own my name. They said the 13th Amendment doesn't apply to Alex Jones. We own his name. Musk wouldn't block that in court.
Again, I don't think he'll be remembered for putting things on Mars. I think he's going to remember for saving free speech.
Well, I mean, but you know, it all started during COVID. They literally grabbed his son, brainwashed him, castrated him, basically, chemically. Like, I'm not glad that happened, but boy, like, that shows how arrogant they are. Like, these people are crazy.
That's happening to all of these ideologies and all these promotions, which are about destabilizing the nation, creating weak men. That's organized. And I'd say, so people understand, they have had a successful revolution. The left have had it. They've infiltrated schools, infiltrated education. They've got into the minds of the youth. They've polluted the minds of the youth. They've attacked the church. They've destabilized the nations. They've done what they wanted to do. Now what we're seeing is the counter-revolution. That's what we're witnessing right now. You witnessed it.
Stay there. Let's talk the counter-revolution with the true 1776 2.0 from the United Kingdom. Tommy Robinson. That's right. 1776 is worldwide. We'll be right back with hour number three with Tommy Robinson. Stay with us. Has InfoWars not delivered? In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the info war continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for Team Humanity, against the globalists, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried ultramethylene blue or our bovine colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you can become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free. and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it reoccurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers. And with one click of your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on top of everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexmentor.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet. Up to 40% off store-wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats. 10% off on things like the collectible knives. And up to 40% off on supplements like Ultramethylene Blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. So take advantage of the March Mega Sale right now, running until the 17th at thealexmentor.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. I'm going to salute you and thank you. Take action now.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.